Live from New York City, welcome to the second episode of Apartment 504. We're sitting in apartment
2E.
We are in New York City in Emily's new apartment.
Literally on my bed because there's nowhere else to sit in my room.
It's a very classic New York City apartment. And we're sitting here. It is raining outside.
Yeah, you'll probably hear some horns because that's just New York. Or an ambulance because we live down the street from NYU Med.
Emily, do you want to hear feedback from our first episode?
Sure. I already shared the feedback I received. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It truly means the world to us.
To our close, our focus group, is that what, or should we call it? Our day ones?
Our day ones. You guys are the early adopters.
So we've only circulated the first episode to a couple special people. Eunice says, I like the idea of follow-unfollow as a way to cap off the episode, but I think it should be tighter. Maybe a minute or two each instead of using it to open up more discussion topics.
Yeah, sorry, Eunice. I get really passionate about things. We'll keep it tight.
Becky did remind us that follow-unfollow reminds her of Fat Mascara's Raise the Wand segment. So, into that. And Becky did also say, as someone that doesn't know much about pop culture, I learned a lot and felt like you had good background info for your references. So.
Great.
Cool. Thank you for the feedback.
We're taking it all in.
So I would say in pop culture, it was a little bit of a slow week.
It's a bit of a slow week.
So we're just going to revisit our favorite topic. Because actually, I do have a lot of follow-up thoughts
ever since our first pod.
Okay, and if you don't know what we're referring to, it is obviously Taylor Swift. I think we cannot help but continue talking to her until new album gets released.
And then we'll have more thoughts after the album gets released, too. I actually requested we have a Taylor Corner on our pod, but Ashley vetoed that idea. So we know who the true fan here is, and it's not Ash.
If every week we revisit Taylor...
I feel like we're going to end up doing that anyway.
I know, just by nature. So props to Taylor for just, I guess, getting the people talking.
Yeah. Her new video, Ready For It. I think my first reaction is, like, why does she have to be so extra?
Agreed. I mean, it was very Joseph Kahn-ish, which is just, Joseph Kahn is the music video director. He worked famously with Britney Spears to do the Toxic video. Shout out to Asian Americans, which also, did you notice,
The Chinese.
So, I read the deep dive, agreed that their video off the bat seemed really extra. I'm sure you read all the deep dives at this point of just all the signals and the signs.
I read a couple. I actually didn't do a deep dive into all the Easter eggs, so you can share with me what those were. I know that the Chinese, she had Year of the Snake.
Year of the Snake,
Chinese,
yes.
Which was clever.
And there, another one was, it said Joseph, I think hyphenetically in Chinese, which could be Khan, Joseph Khan, or her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend,
yeah.
Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, which I'm actually a little bit surprised at how, like, shout out-y, because one of the other signs is it says 89 and 91 on graffiti in the back, and it's their birth years. So I'm actually really surprised that she's being so, but I guess it's classic
Taylor. That's kind of classic Taylor, yeah. Also, she's very much, like, leaning into the snake thing, because of the thing I sent you on Twitter. The physical disc for Reputation, was it?
For the Look What You Made Me Do single.
Oh, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. So there's a physical disc, and it's, like, snake skin. Which I just don't get that. Like, what are you trying to do here, Taylor? I don't get it.
But upon further reading about the Ready For It, I like the song much more than I did before. Okay. I like the message of it. So kind of what Taylor has confirmed again on Tumblr by liking any, so fans will go on Tumblr, they will guess at what they think the meaning of the video is, and Taylor will confirm by liking the comment, the post on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept is there's kind of like an evil dark Taylor, and then there's like a Taylor in a bodysuit in the light.
That's pure Taylor.
So dark Taylor is what the media has presented her and how everyone's attacking her, like what they've made her out to be in the media. But then pure Taylor is, you know, in this glass case and wanting to get out. And ultimately at the end, she does, I think with the sound of her voice or something, get out of the box.
Yeah. Which I think is a very, like, kind of classic narrative, right? Like, oh, the perception versus the reality, which is why I think it's so extra, because you don't need to go with cyborgs and Blade Runner dystopia to, like, get across this very simple idea of, like, wow, I'm so misunderstood.
That's true.
Because I think was just like, was that necessary?
But because Look What You Made Me Do video is also very extra.
It's so over the top, yeah. I'm really hoping for Gorgeous to be like a blank space.
That's also over the top, that video.
Blank Space was, I think it was so campy and it was like fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the mascara running down her face and her being, like, crazy. Like, I thought that was kind of a fun thing. Whereas these have been very, like, I'm going to make, like, a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm. Very Bad Blood-esque.
Yeah, which we loved. Yeah. We did love Bad Blood. I feel like it's been beat to death at this point, that whole, like, aesthetic. And I'm kind of over Joseph Kahn.
You're over Joseph
Kahn. I'm over Joseph Kahn. Sorry, Joseph.
Yeah, so I'm actually really curious of how she's going to play it out, because if Ready For It, the video, is kind of that narrative of, like, oh, like, the old Taylor, or, like, the pure Taylor is out, back, then I would be really interested if, for example, future videos and all songs that release after this are back to old Taylor.
Right. Because she's saying that she's, like, kind of, like, putting to bed or, like, killing this whole, like, media-created image of herself. Yeah. But I feel like all she has done so far in this run-up to the album has been, like, not tell us who she is. So she keeps on, it seems like she's trying to, like, make a message that she's gonna show us, but she hasn't yet. So I'm also annoyed with that.
So it almost makes me think, I wish she just would have come out with Ready For It, because to me, Look What You Made Me Do is such a worse song.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone agrees. Like, that was a bad
What do you think single. Was her thinking behind Look What You Made Me Do as the first single, then?
I think she was really wedded to the, like, idea of what she wanted to do with this album, of, like, I'm gonna call out all my haters, and, like, look what you made me do. And I think she really had it in her head that, like, she was gonna make this big statement, and she didn't think about how the song sucked, or she's surrounded by too many yes men. I also am surprised at how bad she is at choosing first singles, actually, because 1989, she started with Shake It Off, which I think people were also pretty underwhelmed by. I think there was, like, consensus that, like, Shake It Off was a weak first single, and that same with Look What You Made Me Do. And then there was a lot of talk about how people thought she rushed Ready For It because of the response to Look What You Made Me Do.
Right.
Which is also just too long of a song title. I don't like saying that over and over again.
What's the acronym again?
LWYMMD.
That sucks.
It's too long. But Gorgeous is, I have follow up, and I'm just, okay. I have to say, I'm sorry, but I love Gorgeous. I was a little on the fence about it last week, but then I read another article on Billboard.com, look it up, and it's confirmed my belief. I'm going to give Taylor the benefit of the doubt, and I really feel like this is her blank space, and I think it's a fantastic song. I think it has more re-listen value than her other singles. I'm, like, already a little bit sick of Ready For It, whereas my love for Gorgeous has only been growing.
Because, there's definitely the Max Martin is showing through in Gorgeous, I think.
So
we can revisit Gorgeous, because I also revisited the lyrics. And actually, even before we get to that, I realized in Ready For It, because she's, like, rapping, I just never even paid attention to what she was saying.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, the lyrics are pretty interesting. And then the fact that this video came out, it made me think about, like, oh, like this could, it could just be her. I always assume she's talking to a boy, which I think a lot of the lyrics are, is just talking to a boy.
Yeah.
But it could also just be, like, talking to herself, in terms of, like, is there that aspect of, like, she's talking to herself in terms of, like, ready to face the media and, like, ready for
it? Well,
and, like,
I actually don't. I actually think it's a pretty boy-centered song.
Okay.
Because the lyrics are all about, like, in the middle of the night, you should see the things we do. Like,
Because I was like, oh, like, oh, what if she's talking to herself, of just, like, oh, yeah, in the middle, like, well, that's weird. But in the middle of the night, you know, like, she's dreaming, like, all the things that we could do, you know, like, if it's like that. I actually thought it would be more interesting if it was a little more nuanced, but probably not. It's probably
because there were some deep dives into Ready For It lyrics, and there were a lot of actually connections drawn between Ready For It and Wildest Dreams.
Oh, really?
Just in terms of
lyrically
and some of the hidden signals of the Elizabeth Burton references, and the Wildest Dreams video, which kind of had that vibe too.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some interesting parallels there, actually.
Yeah, so if we revisit the lyrics, actually, there's a lot more to be seen, I think, in Ready For It and in Gorgeous. So last week we talked about Gorgeous, how I think our initial reactions were
vapid.
Vapid and underwhelmed. However, and we did kind of touch on the fact that Gorgeous is the blank space of this album. Yes. It's her being playing a character. It's her being tongue-in-cheek. And I think when you revisit it from that lens, actually, I did have so many follow-up thoughts. Yeah, agreed. I love Max Martin. It's confirmed for me that I love Max Martin. I think he's really done his best work for Taylor. and initially, I thought that Taylor kind of failed in the lyrics aspect, but if you take a look at it, and if you look at it from the lens of, like, it's all
the article was also talking about how, like, it really captures that initial feeling of, like, infatuation, which I think is true. Like, it's stupid. Like, the whole process is so dumb. You know you're being so dumb, and you know you're being dramatic, and I think the song plays that up. It's like, oh my god, like, I want to die. He's so hot. I can't look at him. Like, that's what she really, really just goes for. And I think She Delivers it well. So I'm now saying categorically that I like it and I think it's a good song.
Agreed. It's very listenable. Yes. And then in terms of the lyrics, what you're saying of how she captures infatuation so well, one of the examples is she rhymes the word face with the word face. And I did read a thing where it was like, where she's like, oh, like, I can't stop looking at your face because look at your face. Yeah. And I think surface level, you could be like, well, that's a really bad rhyme. Like, you rhyme the same words with each other. But I did read a deep dive that was just like, that's also kind of a characteristic of infatuation, right? It's like she can't even think of like another word to rhyme with. So it's pretty clever.
It's just like all the like kind of like knee-jerk reactions that you have when you just have that initial moment of, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I actually
well, so then that's my whole thing with the whole music videos, how there's all these signals to read into. I'm just like, why don't you just be, you know, like, why is she coming out with all this stuff that's like, that you need to think about? Like,
because she probably thinks she's some genius.
Yeah.
And this is some like crazy, amazingly crafted narrative that only her true fans will understand because she's extra. That's Taylor.
That's another thing I thought about too, though. It's like, I think we were hating a lot last episode, but I've realized like just more and more in just her interaction with fans and how she's been doing these secret sessions. It's like, she really only cares about her fans and like she's doing it for her fans. And I think as long as her fans understand her and stuff, like that's a community that she's most concerned with.
Yeah.
Obviously she's letting all the negative media and press, it's gotten to her clearly in the way that she's like attacking everyone. But I think at the end of the day, like her biggest thing is for her
she's fans. Very good to her fans and she has a lot of them, so,
and I guess she knows that her fans love to like read into things
because otherwise she wouldn't do it, but she knows they're gonna catch it. Taylor Nation, man, they be strong.
they're so strong. Oh, that reminds me, I think there was something Bachelor Nation that I wanted to talk about but I forgot. Okay,
was our next
any other Taylor thoughts?
No, that's it. We'll have more next week.
Taylor, what are you going to do next week?
Yeah, waiting for it. I'm ready for
it.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, so because it was a slow week, this will be kind of a shorter episode.
Yeah.
We can jump to our follow and follow segment.
Oh, okay. We didn't want to do PJ status.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, let's talk about the PJ status.
You do have a plane to catch.
Speaking of planes. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of planes.
Speaking of planes, Emily, why don't you tell people about the text you texted me?
It's just a fun exercise. I think we've played a couple times, actually, Ashley and I. We have a lot of fun little games we play. Another one is guess how many Instagram followers this person has. She's really good at it. I follow Chrissy Teigen. I think this has been established since the last episode. And she posted something of, like, little Luna on a private jet. And I texted Ash, like, oh, their private jet status? Because I think that's, like, next level status. I mean, your average celeb can't be on a private plane, like, you know, casually.
Know where she was going?
No, I don't. But, like, okay, so I feel like, because what I read is that certain celebrities will get, like Chris Pratt might get a private jet, but usually it's studio paid for if he's going from, like, engagement to engagement. It's, like, Kardashian status for you to actually exclusively travel on a private jet because they literally can't go through the airport.
Yeah.
But most celebs still, you know, take regular flights. That's where we get all of our wonderful airport paparazzi shots from.
Yes.
So I was just a little surprised that Chrissy Teigen is private jet status because she's granted very, you know, popular, but like John Legend's, he's not, you know, Beyonce status, is he? You know, like,
well, theory is that this PJ is
PJ equals private jet. Just so you know.
This PJ is built in John Legend tour budget.
Oh.
Yeah.
So maybe she was going to see John?
Yeah. I think that's a common thing that's happening right now.
Right. Because she was at Home Alone without John.
Yes.
Per her Vogue 73 questions.
Oh.
Which was only okay, to be honest. Okay. I was a little disappointed. Chrissy, you can do better than that.
None of her, like, witty humor came out?
It was, like, whatevs. Yeah.
Was Luna a Luna?
But there was a Luna cameo, which was freaking adorable. She's perfect.
Or it could be, do you think, like, once people have babies that they feel like it's time to go PJ exclusive, or?
Like, what other celebs are PJ exclusive besides the Kardashians? Because we know they are.
And they have a whole family. That makes it, like.
Yeah, Khloe, Kylie, they're all, like.
That makes it doable.
And then Scott gets right in the coattails.
Do you think that they, like, fight over, like, PJ time? Like.
Probably. There's so many of them.
So the only other person I can think of is Bieber. Oh, and then Taylor, obviously.
Bieber, Taylor, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
And Jay.
I think that's Rihanna. Rihanna?
I think
she's got a crew.
Be.
Yeah, because she's got a crew, too.
Yeah.
But then, people that are not would be like, Selena's always at LAX.
Yeah. Selena's not PJ status.
Well, okay, to be fair, doesn't the PJ still go into LAX, or?
I don't know, actually.
Probably a private. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
another,
not sure.
Another action item for
yeah.
us.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was just a little quickie.
Yeah, we like to play that game once in a while. But I think that's a pretty solid list in terms of
who would be that
yeah.
echelon, that upper echelon.
Yeah. Now, for our follow and follow segment.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
Okay, I only have follows. Because again,
I actually only have a follow this week as well.
I don't think I actually unfollowed anyone.
Okay.
So this isn't a new one, but I just want to share with you guys someone that I deeply, deeply love following. It's Eva Chen,
mm-hmm.
Instagram. She is the director of fashion partnerships at Instagram in New York.
Mm-hmm.
She used to be an editor of Lucky Magazine as well as other fashion magazines. So she's very much like plugged into the fashion world. And because she works at Instagram, she's like a huge proponent and, you know, is like content creator for her own Instagram. And she has two adorable children, Ren and Tao. They are happy. Her husband is British, and they're adorable, and I love watching her Instagram. It brings me a lot of joy. Every night, before I go to bed, I'll go on Twitter, and it's actually really bad because of all the stupid, you know, stuff that's going on in the world. It makes me sad. So I always end it. I save her Insta story to watch after I read all my news, and it literally lifts my spirits before I go to sleep. So,
oh, and because she works there, she probably stories every day.
Yeah, she has really long stories.
Oh, really?
Of mainly her kids, which is what I love. But then she also does a lot of stuff with designers. She's, like, BFFs with, like, all the fashion designers. And she gets some celebs in there, too. So I think it's really good content. I recommend it.
Wait, so will you save all your stories for the end, or you literally will watch every other Instagram story except hers, then go to Twitter, do Twitter, and then come back to her story?
I usually do just Twitter first in general, I would say, and then I'll come back, and then I just save her story. Like, I'll watch it throughout the day sometimes, but I try not to be on Instagram too much during the day anyways. But I always, like, yeah, I always watch her story. That's also the one story I always watch.
That's also really interesting. So Twitter is part of your nighttime routine. Because Twitter is my morning routine.
Oh.
And Instagram. Like, first thing I do when I wake up.
No. I mean, I'll do Twitter periodically, but I'll usually do, like, one last sweep at the end of the day.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. And it's actually, I shouldn't, because it's pretty depressing. Like, Twitter is a source of a lot of just, like...
Well, I mean, similar, like, I shouldn't really wake up to that kind of energy.
But I think that's normal. Like, people read the paper in the morning. So anyway, that's one of my follows. Another one that I'm recommending is a New York Mag affiliate site, or Vulture affiliate, called The Strategist.
Oh.
And they just recommend a lot of great products, and they're very specific and random, and I should have done more research because I don't really have more to say about it than that. But
wait,
I just
what
like
kind
it.
Of products?
So it's like the best... 5 winter coats or but then they curate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll also do a sweep of like sales that are happening online and then like pull out items. It's like 7 sale items you'll actually want to buy, and then mm-hmm. they'll be like nice sale items. Or they'll be like the best Tupperware according to Amazon reviews. Or the best like linens according to Amazon reviews.
I have seen these actually.
Yeah. So I just like it because it's curated and I really trust them. So it's very convenient. I bought a lot of things. I bought these pillowcases off of it.
Oh.
Yeah, I bought a lot of stuff. And of course, they get a cut of it too.
It's kind of like a column, right? Or it's its own site. The whole site is dedicated.
It's like a tab within the New York Mag
family. Got it. Okay. My follow is less literal. It's more of a drama that I'm going to a celebrity drama that I'm going to start following. Shout out to the Daily Mail again.
Yes.
But I read this morning that the rumor is Drake and The Weeknd have beef.
Ooh.
Because Drake slept with Bella Hadid.
Really?
Yes. And
while they were together?
No. Oh. Just like recently.
I never understand that kind of beef. Wait, she's not allowed to sleep with other people?
She is, but yeah, like, why is The Weeknd tripping, you know?
Yeah,
and so
calm down.
It makes me think, is this, are Selena and The Weeknd not as strong right now as I think? Like, they,
or maybe he's just
what's
a drama
their status?
Thing.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would he get mad at that?
Just, like, because, well, because, okay, The Weeknd and Drake go back. Like, they're friends. Like, they're friends from Toronto. They're both from Toronto. They've made music together. So I think they see each other as friends. So it's one of those situations where it's just, like,
okay.
You might encounter real life where it's just, like, friends should not sleep with each other's exes.
Okay, fine, maybe.
So that's what I'm following, and I'm going to be keeping tabs on and see how that plays out.
Okay. I was going to add on to that, but I'll heed Eunice's feedback and not.
We're going to keep it tight.
We're going to keep it tight. You have a plane to catch, and you don't have a PJ. So.
Okay, so we're playing around with some other formatting things as well. So, again, we're open to more feedback. If there's any other segments or things that you think that we can be talking about in this podcast. For example, if you want to learn more about our lives.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, was like, do people care or should we just talk about celebrities? We can talk about our personal lives too. We can tell you what we did last night for Halloween, you know, but we're not, because...
Well, Emily can, because she doesn't remember it.
Yeah, if I seem a little less perky, just know it's the day after Halloween and you're tired.
So anyways, I hope you all had a happy Halloween weekend. Definitely keep listening and tell us your feedback and what we could be doing more or less of. And we'll...
If anyone wants to count our ums and likes, you know, feel free.
Yes. That was another one we're going to be working on, too.
Those public presentation skills.
Until next time, see you.
Next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday. We don't even record on Tuesdays.
We don't release on Tuesdays either.